When I was first leading worship up here as a guest, worship leader almost 11 years ago, I was coming up from Charlotte to lead. There was a family here that just were amazing people named the Elliots, Val and Elizabeth Elliott, and their amazing kids, Palmer, Ethan, Emma, and Liza. And Liza will probably be listening to this, eventually listen to her mom speak online. So hi, Liza. And I see that there's a new boyfriend in your life as well. So we'll have to talk. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, this is an amazing family that we love. These guys are family. And for a long time, Val, Elizabeth's husband, he led YMCA campaigns. We've all gone up there too. He's been our connection up there to go and have parties together as a church. It's been amazing. But when I think of Elizabeth, I think of a person that's so full of faith and someone that is a prayer warrior, not just attached to the idea of prayer, but really prays. I know for years, and probably still doing this, she would just wake up at before the sun and just take a walk or a run for miles and miles and just pray and pray and pray and intercede. And I know this to be true as a worship leader here. I feel like I can feel when she's praying for us. Sometimes if I feel that there's like opposition coming in the morning, like it's going to be a tough morning for worship, sometimes I'll go tap her on the shoulder. She's usually back there praying. And I'll say, hey, can you open up in prayer? Just because she carries authority when she prays to break things open and there's breakthrough. And so we love her. She's got an amazing message for us today. So I'm going to pray for us. Let's just do this by faith. Let's open up our hearts and say, God, I'm here. I pray that you would speak to me and that words would be like seeds that would go into the soil of my heart, that you would bring forth a garden of life into my life today, that you would use Elizabeth to speak. We just open up our hearts. We ask for a strong and powerful anointing, for clarity for her as you speak through a fresh word. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and we welcome Elizabeth Elliott.
Thank you. David, you forgot to say Lucas. And Lucas and David have like a bromance. That's my oldest son. So I'll forgive you on his behalf. They would like run and hug each other, that kind of stuff, you know? Anyway. Hi. I'm going to pray too. I'm an intercessor, so even though you prayed and you prayed and you prayed, I still got to pray. So let's pray again. God, thank you so much for the gift of life that you've given to us today. Thank you so much for the value that you have placed upon each one of us. It's so massive, God. Thank you for the unlimited freedom that your blood has afforded to us, Jesus. And in this time, God, we just pray in this day that we would honor you in the gift of life. We would honor you in the value that you've placed upon us. We would honor you in the freedom that your blood has given to us, Jesus. And God, I ask specifically this morning that the glory cloud of you, God, would fall fresh upon each one of us. Lord, that the cloud of your glory would come and envelop each one of us that's participating in this time right now. And that, Lord, in that glory cloud, the counsel of your love would be heard so clearly today, God. And that you would align our senses, God, so that we are in complete alignment with heaven. And God, I ask for one more thing. I ask for a brand new grace today, God. I ask for a brand new grace for each one of us that's participating in this time right now. The grace to abandon ourselves and be completely responsive as to how you're moving today, Holy Spirit. I ask and I receive these things. I declare them obtained by the blood of Jesus. And I say this in your name, Jesus. Amen. About 4 weeks ago, I woke up at 2:30 in the morning. And I am an early riser, like David said, but I'm not that early. But I woke up at 2:30 in the morning, about 4 weeks ago, And I looked around my room, and everything in my room that I normally look at looked absolutely the same. But something felt different in the atmosphere. And so I'm looking around, everything looks the same, something feels very different in the atmosphere. And the only way I know how to describe it is that it felt like a party. It felt like a party in the atmosphere at 2:30 in the morning, and I'm looking around in my room and I don't see anything different. And so I'm trying to find a place in my understanding to connect what I'm not seeing but what I'm feeling. And as I'm doing this, a phrase begins to play as a loop in my head. And it just keeps running over and over and over and over and over and over. And it doesn't stop. It just keeps going and going and going. And this phrase says, God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. It just keeps going over and over. It doesn't stop. It just keeps going over and over and over. And I'm looking around in my room and I'm seeing nothing that looks a bit different. I'm feeling a party atmosphere and I'm hearing this word go over and over, over and over. It's not stopping. God is up to something good in my life. And so I am seeking understanding still to understand, okay, stuff's happening. What's my place in this? What am I supposed to do in this? And praise be for the Holy Spirit who comes and leads and guides and teaches and shows us exactly what's happening, exactly what our response is supposed to be. And this is what he says to me. He says, Elizabeth, you're having an encounter. I was like, okay, yes. You're having an encounter, and you're being given an invitation to an impartation from the kingdom of God. This is what he says to me in the midst of this. And so, yes, okay, I hear you. I get what you're saying. And really, you know how we follow the Holy Spirit sometimes? It's not always process that happens in our mind. All of a sudden, we're just doing something. And we're like, oh, okay, we're doing this. And we're not really thinking it out, because that's what it's like when you live surrendered to the Holy Spirit. You don't have to sit there and figure everything out. It just happens through you. And it's the greatest freedom ever. But so that's what happens. I'm hearing this line in my head, God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. And it's still going. It's not stopping. The whole time the Holy Spirit is explaining things to me, that tape is still just running on that loop. And so what I understand that my response is to be is I just begin to say out of my mouth at 2:30 in the morning in my room, in the midst of this party atmosphere where I'm not seeing anything different, I just begin to declare out of my own mouth in the rhythm that that loop is saying it. I just begin to step in, and it's my yes to the invitation that the Holy Spirit said that was being given to me of an impartation from the kingdom of God. I just step in and I begin to say, God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. And I'm thinking about what I'm saying, and my heart's beginning to be inspired by what I'm saying, but the big guns come out. Just like the big guns come out for you, when my faith in a brand new way and in a brand new day started to believe what I was saying, that God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. And I just stepped in that loop, and that loop wasn't stopping, so I wasn't stopping. I was just moving the way that the impartation was coming, and I'm just saying it and saying it and saying it. And then all of a sudden, when my faith kicked in and I started to believe on a deeper level what I was actually saying, that party atmosphere came inside of me. it came inside of me. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I am laying in my bed over and over saying, God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. And I am giggling because the delight of the Lord has come within me. And it is the purest of pleasure, the delight of the Lord is. And I'm receiving ecstasy from heaven. And the party is happening in me now at 3 o'clock in the morning in my room. When anyone gives a testimony like I'm doing right now, whatever is being testified to when it concerns the power of God and the kingdom of God, whatever is being testified to, just like I'm doing, is being put on offer for anyone who is listening to it. That is one of the many powerful things about a testimony of God, is that when you testify to the power of God in your life, not only does that do extraordinary things for you, but heaven is putting on offer what that person is testifying to. And so I'm saying to you this morning, I'm giving you this testimony, but while I am giving it to you, heaven is saying, do you want this? Do you want this impartation? Because it's not just for me. When it's from heaven, it's for all. It's for any who will say yes and step in. And so we're going to do that together. We're not only being graced to get an impartation this morning, we're being graced to work it together. And so we're going to step in, and we're going to step in several different times as I'm sharing this morning. But we're going to step in right now. You are so invited to come into this. And I pray that you would be a part of that answered prayer that I prayed in the beginning, that you would abandon yourself. The grace is here for us to abandon ourselves and fully respond to how the Holy Spirit is moving in us. So I invite you to step into this loop with me as we declare that God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. I have to make myself stop because it's an impartation from heaven, and the way that it came, it didn't stop. And so when I step into agreement with it, I have a really difficult time stopping. First of all, when you're receiving ecstasy from heaven and the kingdom of God is expanding inside of you, why would you want to stop? But there is life and things that have to happen and things to take care of, and I have lots of laundry at my house, and so there are pauses in between. But it's hard to stop, just like worship this morning, because when the fullness of the kingdom of heaven has come, why would you want to stop? But so we're going to go back to that impartation several times during this time that I'm sharing. But one of the things that is really special about entering into impartation is that if you don't just take it as a one-time thing, but you understand that if you cultivate it and you keep returning to it, it will become more and more and more and more and more. So think of what I'm saying to you this morning. This super simple phrase that is packed with heaven, stepping into, declaring it, and stepping into it in the loop in which it came, of just saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it, because that's the way it came. Impartation that happens in those places is so powerful that it begins to open up the doors of revelation when you do it. And that's what happened. That is what has happened to me. I have gone back to this over and over and over again since like 4 weeks ago when it first came. I've gone back to it. I've gone back to it. I've gone back to it. And there have been several times when the Holy Spirit has showed up just in the midst of this impartation, of just declaring this simple phrase that God is up to something good in my life. Revelation has opened up. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit told me in the midst of this activating this revelation is that he said to me, when you do this, Elizabeth, and I'm saying it to you, if you so choose to step back into this impartation, as we're going to do several times this morning, but even on your own when you leave, When you do this, the Holy Spirit said, we are activating the celebration of the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit said to me. I said, oh, okay. I mean, what else? I don't know. I don't understand. Revelation from heaven is huge. And so when he says something, you're just like, okay. And then he begins to open up understanding if we go back and say, can you explain this to me? Can you talk to me more about this? And so he said to me, when we are activating that phrase that God is up to something good in our lives, we are activating the celebration of the Lord. And then he said this, and the activation of the celebration of the Lord ushers out unnecessary grief. I'd never heard that before because it was Revelation. The celebration of the Lord ushers out unnecessary grief. And the Holy Spirit says, when I step into this impartation, when you step into this impartation of God is up to something good in my life, he says that we are activating the celebration of the Lord. And the celebration of the Lord ushers out unnecessary grief. And then he tells me this. He starts to talk to me about grief. And he says to me, Isaiah 53:3. Now, Isaiah 53:3 describes the posture that Jesus has towards grief. That's what Isaiah 53:3 does. And the posture that Jesus has towards grief is this. Isaiah 53:3 says, Jesus was acquainted with grief. It says Jesus was familiar with grief. Some translations say that Jesus was well acquainted with grief. Jesus was intimately familiar with grief. But any of the translations that I read, they all have this theme, which is the posture that Jesus has towards grief is that he keeps it in a place of familiar, not intimate. He keeps it in a place of an acquaintance, not someone that comes and lives with him and abides and dwells. Now, this is the posture that Jesus has towards grief. And as it goes with Jesus, so it goes with us. And this is the posture that he has towards grief. He was familiar with it. He was acquainted with it. But he was not intimate with it. He did not set up a residing place for grief. Now, there is necessary grief that comes to all of us. But the manner that Jesus is teaching us how to posture ourselves towards grief is this. It comes, and then it is meant to go. It comes, and then it is meant to go. It is never meant to set up residence. It is never meant to have an abiding place within us because that is the posture of Jesus towards it. He kept it at the familiar, not intimate. He kept himself an acquaintance with it. But we all know what that means when someone is your acquaintance. They're not your best friend. They're not somebody that lives with you. And this is the posture that he has towards grief. And so the Lord says that when we step into this impartation of God is up to something good in my life, that we activate the celebration of the Lord and it ushers out unnecessary grief. And so another thing that the Lord told me about grief is he said, a lot of grief on this earth is unnecessary grief. A lot of it. Some is necessary, but a lot of grief in this earth is unnecessary grief. Now we think that we could look at a situation and say, well, that is worthy of grief. No, well, that might not be worthy of grief. We think that we might have those skills. But actually, the only one who truly knows what necessary grief and unnecessary grief is the Holy Spirit. And the only way we know that is that we follow the Holy Spirit and we listen to the Holy Spirit and we ask him, is this a necessary grief? Is this an unnecessary grief? Because the things of God are only revealed by the Spirit of God. And so let me give you this example from the scriptures. In Mark 5, a man named Jairus has a daughter that died. Now you and I would look at that and we would say, a child has died. That is a necessary grief. That seems very logical. That seems reasonable. That a death of a child is a necessary grief. But Jesus shows up on the scene and he declares, this grief is unnecessary. And the way he does that is he says, she is not dead. She is sleeping. Now, we can all take a lesson from the mourners that were there, because those mourners were ticked off at Jesus when he said that. Because what happens is, if we are so sure that we understand what grief is to be mourned and what grief is not to be mourned, if we're so sure apart from the Spirit of God, we will hold on to grief and we will be so offended if anybody gives us the slightest idea that we should not be grieving. Now, this is a check for all of us. This is a check for me, because with our natural eyes, just like when I was sitting in my room that morning and I opened up my eyes at 2:30 in the morning, I didn't see anything. But by the Spirit of God, I felt that the atmosphere was different. This is how it is with grief. We have to look and see by the Spirit what is grief that is to be mourned and what is grief that is to be exited out and abandoned. And so what happened is Jesus came to that place at Jairus' house where his daughter had died, and he said, she's not dead. She's just asleep. And the scriptures say that the mourners were so mad at Jesus. I kept forgetting what this word is, so I need to look up exactly how they said it. Because I was like, what was that word, Holy Spirit? What did they say to you again, Jesus? They scorned him. They scorned him in Mark 5 when he showed up and he said, this is an unnecessary grief. They scorned him because they so passionately wanted to believe that their grief was worthy. It was a necessary grief. And he was saying, it is not. She is not dead. She is asleep. And they were scorning him and scorning him until he went and stood beside her bed and said, Talitha kum, which means wake up, sweetheart. And she did. And the celebration of the Lord that completely embodies Jesus ushered out the unnecessary grief. This is so amazing to me, that this simple phrase from heaven, this simple impartation from heaven of stepping in and saying, God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. It is amazing to me that such a simple phrase that's so packed with heaven has the power to activate the celebration of the Lord, and that the celebration of the Lord reveals and ushers out unnecessary grief. What? I mean, the Lord is so powerful and yet so pure and so simple to us. He comes in ways that we can understand what he's doing. And this is such a beautiful little simple phrase just to say, but stepping in with faith alters what just that simple phrase is. So that was one of the revelations that the Lord gave to me, which was fun and amazing and life-changing. But one of the things that the Lord was talking to me about that when it comes to impartation is this. Impartation's happening all the time around us. And some of it is not of God. And so again, it's really important to be connected to the Holy Spirit so that we can know, okay, wait, nope, not supposed to receive that. Okay, yes, that is God. Pretty important. And so even though impartation's happening all the time around us, not all of it is of God. But also, if we are in that place and we have the grace with the Holy Spirit to say, oh, okay, this impartation is of God, yes. We say yes to that impartation and we step into it. That's a beautiful grace that happens. But even when we see that it's God, say yes to it and step into it, sometimes the expression, the full expression of that impartation can be hindered. And I believe that at some level that's happening a little bit in this room right now. And that hindrance can come because there are things already pre-existing inside of us that maybe we're aware of, and if we're aware of it, that's called rebellion. But if we're not aware of it, then there's things that are existing inside of us that can hinder a full expression of an impartation in our lives. You know, the enemy is just lying and lying and lying and lying all the time to all of us all the time. And so sometimes when he says things, we consider it. We pause a moment and go, maybe that was true. And the, you know what the Holy Spirit showed me happens when we do that? There's a table and we pull out the chair. When we consider the things that are lies that the enemy's speaking to us. Now, there's a difference between discernment and seeking what the Holy Spirit is saying is true and not true, and considering. I'm talking about ruminating on something. We're pulling out a chair and we're basically inviting the enemy to sit at the table of our thoughts, to sit at the table of our emotions. And when we do that, little hindrances, little snares and traps get stuck inside of us so that when an impartation comes, the fullness is not fully manifest and known. And so one of the things that we're going to do this morning is I'm going to lead us in a prayer of repentance, because it is so beautiful how easy God has made this for us, that all we have to do is come and confess and ask God to clean us out, and he does. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to come in a brand new way, and he does. And then that's not something that we have to be concerned about. We don't have to be preoccupied of, is there something in me? Is there something in me? Is there something in me? It's just like, Lord, if there is, please get rid of it. It's that simple. And then just as we're going about our everyday lives and we're entering into impartations, we're walking and saying, not God, God, not God, God, by the Holy Spirit. And the ones that are of God, we're saying, yep, I'm stepping into that. And when we're stepping into it, and you know when we are experiencing the fullness of God or not. So we're stepping into it and we're like, this isn't quite as yummy as I thought it would be. And it's like, well, why don't we just pause a moment and pray? Lord, if there's anything inside of me, cleanse me out. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer this morning of repentance. And I ask again that the prayer that I prayed in the beginning, which was, God, give us the grace, so the grace is here for us to completely abandon ourselves and respond to the Holy Spirit. I just say that again as we go into this prayer of repentance. Let me take a quick sip. So let's pray. Merciful God, thank you for your mercy that is not only just new every morning, but is so thick in this room with us right now. God, I tell you, I am sorry and I apologize to you, and I speak as the mouthpiece on behalf of the hearts that are joined in this prayer right now, God. I tell you I'm sorry and I apologize to you for any and all hindrances, encumbrances that may be within us, Lord, that are diminishing the fullness of the impartation of what you're pouring out this morning. And I use the authority of the blood of Jesus, and I renounce any and all ungodly agreements with the accusations against your goodness, God, and against your goodness towards us. And I'm going to say that again. On behalf of every heart that's joined in this prayer of repentance right now before you, God, I use the authority of the blood of Jesus, and I renounce any and all ungodly agreements with any and all accusations against your goodness, God, against your goodness towards us. And I declare them null and void and completely detached from us. And so right now, Daddy God, I ask that you come with your great big giant loving arms, and that you would come and pull from the root up, and you would remove every remnant that we've been cleansed and delivered from. And Holy Spirit, I ask in a brand new way, in this brand new day, that you would come and rush in, Holy Spirit, and come and fill us and flood us and abide in us and dwell and secure and permeate, saturate your presence within us fresh and anew, Holy Spirit. We cooperate with this deliverance fully, God. We cooperate fully with this infilling that you're doing right now, Holy Spirit. And we receive, we receive, we receive. We thank you. We thank you. And so from this new position that God has given us by cleansing us, refilling us, we step back into that impartation together again right now as we say, God, you're up to something good in my life. God, you are up to something good in my life. God, you are up to something good in my life. God, you are up to something good in my life. God, you are up to something good in my life. God, you are up to something good in my life. God, you're up to something good in my life. God, you're up to something good in my life. God, you're up to something good in my life. God, you're up to something good in my life. God, you're up to something good in my life. You know, one time when I stepped in this impartation, I saw Jesus. He had the biggest smile on his face, and he had like a gleam and a twinkle in his eye because he's up to something good in my life. And this communication was emanating from him when I saw him. And the communication was saying this: you are so not going to regret believing me. You're going to be so glad that you believe me about this. This is the language that was emanating from Jesus when I was stepping into that impartation and saying, God, you're up to something good in my life. I saw him, and he was like, you're right, I am. And you are so not going to regret believing this. You're going to be so glad that you believe this. Another time, because I'm telling you, impartation opens up the door of revelation. And another time when I stepped into this impartation, I was just saying, God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. God is up to something good in my life. And a scripture verse rose up in me. And it was a scripture verse that I memorized like 15 years ago, because I used to homeschool our children. And in the mornings, the very first thing before homeschool, we would worship, we'd pray, we'd read the word. Sometimes we memorize scripture. And this was one of those scriptures like 15 years ago that I am, just a few weeks ago, standing in this impartation saying, God, you're up to something good in my life. And the scripture verse rose up within me. And this is the language that it came. I think this is the NIV because I think that's how we memorized it. It says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And the Holy Spirit said to me, when you are in this impartation and you are declaring with faith that God is up to something good in my life, this scripture verse is fully manifesting. That's what the Holy Spirit said to me. And so I actually did not remember where it was in the Bible. So I had to type in those words and say, what scripture verse is this? And it's 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5. And so I went to look it up. I went to look up the different translations. And just like Dawn this morning landed on the Passion Translation, that's where I seem to be landing a lot of times. But I have this thing that I do sometimes with scripture. And it's okay between the Lord and I. And if it offends you, I'm sorry. Like, it's not offending God. And so I'm doing it anyway. But sometimes when I'm reading scripture, it's, the Lord will, like, say a little something else in the word. And so I'm like, well, that's really good. I mean, the word's good. And then when you say that, Holy Spirit, that's really good. And so I'll put, like, little parentheses within the scripture because God's still speaking. And I know that sometimes people are like, you cannot change scripture. And it's like, I'm not changing it. The Holy Spirit just shows up sometime and enhances it. He expands it. And so I write those things down. And so I'm just telling you before I read the Passion Translation, the parentheses are mine. Like if you go back and you're like, that is not what the Passion Translation says. It's like, yeah, because Elizabeth, she added some things in parentheses because she heard the Holy Spirit saying them. So I'm just telling you that. That the parentheses are mine. I take ownership for them. I will answer God on behalf of them. But it was the Holy Spirit anyway, so you don't need to be offended. But this is the Passion Translation of that scripture verse of what I was saying before, 2 Corinthians 10:5. But the parentheses are mine. It says this: we are demolishing every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and his goodness towards us. We are breaking through every arrogant attitude that raised itself in defiance of the true intimate knowledge of God and his goodness towards us that we have. We are capturing like prisoners of war every thought and insisting that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Whew. Can you believe it that the Holy Spirit said, stepping into this simple impartation of God is up to something good in my life, fully manifests the scripture? That's what he said. Not only does this simple impartation activate the celebration of the Lord within us that ushers out unnecessary grief, but he says 2 Corinthians 10:5 is fully manifesting. When we're taking this simple sentence that came straight from heaven and we step it into by faith and we step it into it in the loop in which it came, where we say it and we say it and we say it and we say it until our mind and our heart and our faith kick in. I'm going to read this one more time, 2 Corinthians 10:5, the Passion Translation, because it's fully manifesting when we're activating by faith this impartation from heaven. We are demolishing every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and his goodness towards us. We are breaking through every arrogant attitude that has raised itself in defiance of the true intimate knowledge of God and his goodness towards us that we have. We are capturing like prisoners of war every thought and insisting that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. God, you're up to something good in my life. God, you are up to something good in my life. God, you are up to something good in my life. God, you are up to something good in my life. God, you're up to something good in my life. God, you're up to something good in my life. God, you're up to something good in my life. God, you're up to something good in my life. God, you're up to something good in my life. God, you're up to something good in my life. God, you're up to something good in my life. God, you are up to something good in my life. He is. He really, really is all the time. Never is he not up to something good. So you can step into this impartation in the lowest of lows and the highest of highs, and it is always true. It is always true that he is up to something good in our lives. You know, we have had some bumps in the road this week as a church. And one of the things that I have not had the privilege of doing yet is sharing this impartation corporately. And so one of the things that the Lord reminded me of about impartation is when heaven comes, it comes fully and first to us individually. It comes fully and first to us individually. That's what impartation does. And we are to work this impartation, and we are to grow with this impartation, and it expands within us until we are full of heaven with the impartations that God brings to us. And then it's supposed to go beyond us. It's never meant to stay just within us. It's always meant to go beyond us, because that is the design of the kingdom of God. The design of the kingdom of God is that it has to first come individually to each one of us. And we are fully enamored with it and fully soaked with it. And then it is meant to be released and go beyond us, because that is the nature of the kingdom of God. And so this last thing that we're going to do by faith is we're going to take this declaration and we're going to go beyond God is something good, up to something good in my life. And we're going to go to God is up to something good in our lives. And we're going to release a fresh new wave over this body. And we're just going to stand against all those things that are trying to set themselves up and say something other that is not of God. And so I'm asking you to stand up, because you probably want to anyway. I realize that I have worked this impartation on my own a little bit longer than y'all, and I'm scooting y'all really quick into the beyond yourself. But just like God does always, he downloads us with a bunch of stuff when we get here, and then it's up to us to go home and unpack it and let it become fully what it was just begun in here. But I'm asking you to do again that answered prayer that I prayed at the beginning, to fully abandon yourself and give yourself over to the Holy Spirit in full response. Because this is a powerful thing we're doing right now on behalf of this body. And I'm just asking you to come into this impartation with me right now, with heaven, not even with me, but with heaven, and declare fresh and anew and a brand new day and in a brand new way that God is up to something good in our lives. God is up to something good in our lives. God is up to something good in our lives. God is up to something good in our lives. God is up to something good in our lives. God is up to something good in our lives. God is up to something good in our lives. God is up to something good in our lives. God is up to something good in our lives. God is up to something good in our lives. God is up to something good in our lives. God is up to something so good in our lives. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Man, that's so true. I bless you. I bless you with the blessing of God that Proverbs says makes us truly rich. I bless you with that blessing. Thank you for letting me share with you this morning.
Great. About to dismiss you guys, but you know, I was thinking this week, when she was saying that God is something is up to something good in our lives. It'd be funny if I forgot what the phrase was, huh? But it was like a sledgehammer. It felt like just going, like beating down something that the enemy has been trying to build inside of us. And I mean, if you're on any social media or all, if you read the news, we're just constantly bombarded with things the enemy throws out there, trying to convince us that the world is just constantly going downhill and it's getting further and further away from Christ. Did you guys know there's a revival happening in Iran right now? Christians are coming to Christ by the thousands. And here's what I've noticed. The enemy is so slick the way he does this. What I've noticed is that when things get really stirred up, when we get this thing thrown in our face, like morality, whatever it is, whatever side, you know, the world wants to push on us, it's just so ironic that a lot of people, celebrities, will stir stuff up and create these stories right before a book comes out, or right before an album comes out, or right when they need attention, it's like there's this big stir. And it's, I feel like the enemy and media sometimes uses our own fear, our internal fear, against us. And it feels like, does anybody sometimes just feel like they're being played? like you're just being played by everything. And when I hear her saying this stuff, God is up to something good, God is doing something, it just feels like a sledgehammer, just trying to tear down that thing inside of us that says, well, you know, things are just going to keep going this way and get worse and worse and worse, and then God's going to return. I don't think that's the way it's going to be. I really don't. I think the glory of God will cover the entire earth, that the sons and daughters will rise up and see the kingdom come. And so, just amazing stuff. And she made reference to this in the message. Just you guys can be seated real quick. About our church going through something hard. And how many of you guys received that email from Pastor Matt? Just raise your hand high. I really want to see how many people actually got that. Okay, so this week, we just want to mention we had something hard happen here this week. There's a member, a person that's been coming to our church for about a year, a young man, about 23 years old. If you saw the news this week, that has been arrested on counts of sexual assault and statutory rape. And this one hit home. He's been coming here. He's been on our, you know, a greeter at the church for the past year. And we did a background check. We did all that stuff. Nothing happened at the time. There's nothing on there. So these charges are some more recent charges that happened in 2018. And Matt is out of town. He wanted to be here. He tried to be here this week and just couldn't. So he's going to talk about this in detail. He went to the prison this past week and met with the young man. And we just want to let you know there's not one part of anything that will get brushed under the carpet or just quieted. There are some girls that are really hurting, that have been hurt. And that's primarily what this is about, is those families that have been hurt in this situation. And we intend to talk about this next week and let our pastor lead us in that conversation. In the meantime, what I'm asking y'all to do is just please pray. When this stuff hits close to home, we really need to unify and we need to pray. And we need to just have those conversations as a family, because this stuff happens, you know. This stuff happens, so... And let me pray for us now. God, we just pray that you give us wisdom in these coming days. You'd help us to navigate things that are tough. And in the midst of that, when I think of the scripture in Romans, it says, hope does not put us to shame. Hope does not put us to shame. And we do believe, in spite of some difficult things, in spite of suffering, in spite of trials, in spite of mistakes, you are up to something good in our lives. And I pray that hope would be our song. I pray that hope would be like a tree of life, a desire fulfilled inside of each person. Give us faith in these days ahead. And God, we believe that the kingdom of God is gonna be established like we've never seen in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. We'll see you next week.